You're listening to the Inspire Excellence Podcast, recorded at the BVA headquarters with your hosts, Troy McClain and Tommy Ahlquist. Each episode is focused on shedding new light on different perspectives to create dialogue that inspires excellence.
Just having a good time. I look forward to these. That's why I sent you a text, man. You call, we kill. The interview. That's it. Just the interview.
Hey, everybody. This is Troy McClain and Tommy Ahlquist with Inspire Excellence in Idaho. Today's theme is how do we go from education to innovation through disruption? And that's why we have Jeff Dillon on the show today. Jeff, thank you very much for being on with us.
It's great to be here. Thank you for opening the door. Let me come in. Thank you.
Absolutely. Let me tell you, first and foremost, Tommy sent me a text over the holidays, and he's like, we impromptu, got to have him. When you hear this man's story, it's going to resonate with you. It's going to resonate with our community, and you need to be here at 10 a.m. today. I'm like, Tommy, did we plan this? No, but you got to do it.
Well, hey, this came together quickly, but I've known Jeff for a while. And let me do a brief introduction, Jeff, and then let you fill in your bio a little bit. But when I ran for governor, was able to visit most of the school districts in the state of Idaho. Was one of the best parts of the campaign all over the states. And I don't know the exact number. It depends on how you count them, but there's well over 100 school districts. If you add in the charter schools, it gets more than that. But there's over 100 traditional school districts. And Jeff Dillon is the superintendent and the principal in Wilder, Idaho. And for many of you who don't know where Wilder is in, what's the closest biggest city by Wilder?
Caldwell.
That's right.
So it's just west and a little bit.
Directly west of Caldwell, about 10 miles.
10 miles.
Yeah.
And I rolled in to meet Jeff for the first time and had scheduled a day out there because I'd heard it was unbelievable. And it blew me away,
Yeah, you were jonesing about it way back when.
It was unbelievable. He has taken this little school district, one of the poorest school districts in the state, demographics would say would be a failing location, and completely disrupted it with innovation after innovation after innovation. Mm-hmm. I will add this. At the same time, Jeff was running for state school superintendent. So I was able to follow him around the state too as he ran and should have been elected. He would have been fantastic because of what he would have brought to the state. But I'm going to tell one quick personal story about you.
You bet.
And then turn it over to you. But I don't know that I've told anyone this story. I had Matthew, old the McLovin, last night pull up a picture. You remember this picture right here?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Look at that.
So this is one of my favorite stories from the campaign that I haven't told. But it's grueling, right?
It's grueling.
And I don't know how many times we went all over the state everywhere. And this was the very last time. So the last couple of weeks of the campaign, we decided, hey, let's spend the last 2 weeks on the road. Mm-hmm. And we went to, I can't remember how many cities it was. Maddie, how many was it? It was a lot.
Too many.
And we're in Cambridge, Idaho. Okay. Stopping at a tour stop along the way. And I get a text from Jeff. He's like, hey, are you around? And I said, yeah, I'm in Cambridge. He says, I'm in Cambridge too. And I said, I'll stop by and say hi to you. So we meet
on the
street in Cambridge, Idaho, and I'll never forget it because by this time I was tired. I was worn down. I'm like wondering what the heck did I get into? And, you know, you're just drained. You know?
Yeah,
just
battle fatigued,
fatigued in every way. And Jeff did something. You were a pastor before you went into education, and he grabbed me and he said, hey, let's pray together. And we stood in the middle of the street in Cambridge, Idaho. And he put his arms around me and he offered a prayer, and I'll never forget it. It was a powerful experience for me, a good friend, and can't wait to talk to you today about what you've got going on. But welcome, Jeff. Thank you for being here.
Well, thank you. It was a great experience running for a state superintendent. Met a lot of great people across the state of Idaho, but you know, I think highlight was our friendship on the road and from place to place and shaking your hand and getting to know you and your passion for leadership. You know, that was awesome. And just to be able to have the opportunity to spend some time with you in a remote place of Idaho, you know, because, you know, it's grueling. And it was an honor.
Tell me a little bit, though. Again, Tommy brings me in. When Tommy calls, man, you just go. And I can tell that you get infected with his positivity and his authentic nature as well as just about anyone that meets him. what is it that you do? Like, I keep hearing, like, when you hear about it, it's amazing. When you see it, it's incredible. I'm like, okay, so he's a pastor. So he ran for superintendent. What is it that I'm looking at?
Me personally or the school district? You know, for me personally, it's about I don't like to follow very much. I like to lead.
Yeah.
I have this mindset, lead, follow, or get out of the way.
Amen.
And so when I came back to Wilder, it was about the opportunity to lead and go into a different direction. Mm-hmm. We were able to make some changes when I was the elementary principal early on, did some great things, and then was given the opportunity to take over as superintendent and then just combine the role of elementary principal at the time and superintendent yeah. role. And begin to think differently about education for our kids. And I just really believe that there was a different way of doing education. And we set out on that path. And it is truly, it looks like a school building. And we do have school teachers. The buses drop kids off and pick kids up. And we feed kids, but everything else is different.
Everything.
Everything.
So totally redesigned education is what I'm hearing. So you redesigned education through a concept of innovation. What did you redesign?
I know why he's laughing. Let me take it from here just to give you. So I get there day one, right? I walk in the front doors and I meet Jeff and he's like, hey, I'm going to show you something, but you're probably not prepared for what you're going to see. It's all self-directed learning. Technology in the classroom. They've done away with periods in between classes.
Come on.
Kids go at their own pace. And right away, we walk into the first room and this little Hispanic girl walks up to me and says, hey, hi, let me show you something that I've been working on. And she had written a paper on the medical ethics of using rats for medical research. And she handed me this paper just like, well, that's not all. Let me take you down the hallway. She then had written a script and animated a debate on the subject. This little girl had.
Come on.
And they have a full-blown studio where these kids would then take an idea that they were learning and she had animated her script. That was just the start of the day. Unbelievable.
Well, let me add to that. This young girl was in second grade. So
what?
When you give we call it the ownership of learning back to the student, amazing things happen because they begin to drive their passions and things that really they want to learn about and things they really want to know how to fix and get involved in change. And this young lady was concerned about animals being used for scientific experiments as a second grader. So the whole class wasn't learning about it, but she wanted to learn about it.
So how do you even one come up with a concept like that? Where was your moment of clarity? And then two, how do you swim upstream against the bureaucracy of that?
Two things. I partnered with the American Association of School Administrators. It's a national organization of superintendents. And a group of us got together in a cohort that they titled Personalized Learning. So there was about 30, 35 of us that met for 2 years. And we really were looking at ways to get outside the traditional approach and really personalize learning. And we saw a couple of different schools in some different locations. And that began me to get that spark going. And really knowing that my kids in my district, even though they aren't the highest socioeconomic group, they're the lowest, they have the right for the same type of a learning experience than the other end. And it was my duty and my job to make sure it happened. That combined with the state of Idaho looking at a mastery-based approach, which kind of released the district from seat time for credit. So students get their credit based upon mastery of the content, not because you put your tail in the seat all year or a half a year. And so we kind of raised the bar for our kids in our district. So you have to have a B, demonstrate proficiency before you can move on.
So it's outcomes over hours. Like it's not about the hours in, it's about the outcomes and the mastery of that. I call it O. Like, oh, outcomes over hours, man. Let's get it done.
Absolutely. That's what we do day to day. K-12.
But you had, Tommy, and you ran into the bureaucracy of this crap too, where you've got a bunch, and honestly, it's a bunch of traditionalists like myself too, because I first hear this and I go, whoa, you're interrupting the way that I did school, and now I got my kids. So how do you answer that?
Well, first of all, I think when you hear it, it's hard to even comprehend what Jeff's talking about. Let me tell you one more story from the day. So we spend the first part of the day in the elementary, then we go over to the middle school, high school. They've done away with periods. And when you do the math, Jeff can go through the data, but just by eliminating periods during a day and allowing office hours where kids, let's say you're really good at English.
Right.
Well, you don't have to spend all your time in your English class. Let's say you struggle with math. Well, your teachers are available for you. So there are kids that spend more time during their day in math class getting one-on-one instruction than they normally would in this, the cadence, that old cadence that goes back to, it goes back to the Industrial Revolution when we came up with the way we educate kids and what we teach and what year. But I'm going to tell you a real personal story from that day. So, and Jeff did not set this up. We're walking through the hallway and I grabbed this big kid. There's a big kid in the hallway with, I don't know if you remember that day, but I grabbed him. I pulled him over and I said, hey, what do you think about this? Big, big kid. I said, how has this been for you? And he looked at me and he said, listen, when they told me that they were going to make all these changes, I was the most resistant to change because I hate school. I was only coming to school to get through it. He was only bored. He came and he said, what do I need to do to get through this? But I had this time I had to spend. Mm-hmm. And when I learned that I could come and go through quicker if I paid attention, I suddenly started paying attention.
Yeah.
I suddenly started engaging and going through as quickly as I could. And then he got a big smile on his face, this big kid. He said, hey, I'm done. I'm going to graduate early because I'm proficient. I've been through my classes and I'm done. And I thought, okay, great. Now what?
Yeah.
You're in Wilder, Idaho. You get done with class, school early. Right. Now you're going to be goofing off. What are you going to do? I said, okay, so what's next for you? He said, oh, that's easy. They've got me all lined up with vocational training. So this kid in particular was taking a welding course and was going to get a certificate in welding during the spring, was working two part-time jobs and was enrolling in college.
Yep.
At that point, at that point, you throw your hands up and say, okay, I'm on some other planet.
Yeah.
No, I'm not on another planet. I'm in Wilder, stinking Idaho, where this is happening. This is possible.
But is it possible accepted? Anywhere. Is it accepted?
It is accepted. The biggest challenge, the biggest hurdle, the biggest mountain in front of you is the resistance to change from within inside the system. And we don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
We don't know how. And if I don't know how, then I can't follow after someone else's little model or here's my boxes I need to check. I do this, then I get my outcome. It really is about you being a great teacher, period.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great leadership in the building, period. It's about, you know, providing the opportunities for kids to be successful, period. It's about those things.
And probably pretty difficult to scale because if you think about traditional education, you are disrupting and you're up against all these challenges. Well, now it worked. Mm-hmm. And now you go, okay, now what?
Yeah.
Because you've got all of these little kingdoms around you that are different districts and different ways of doing it. And so one of the things Jeff did that first day I left, he said, here's a list of books I want you to read. And he gave me a long list and I read them all. And one of them was The Answers in the Room. And the point of the book was there's always someone doing it, whether at one classroom in one school or one district.
McLevin, can you pull that up? The Answers in the Room.
So you read this and it goes through and talks about why in education it is so incredibly hard to scale success. Mm-hmm. And that's, Jeff, I'd love to – I mean, obviously you ran for state school superintendent. And I had my hopes that here's a guy who had done it, right?
Who wrote the book, The Answers in the Room, do you know?
Blankenship, I think, is his name.
Let's see, we're looking.
Alan Blankenship. Or Blankenstein.
Blankenstein. I'll take it. The Answers in the Room, how effective. There it is right there, top one, isn't it? Alan Blankenstein, you got it.
Wasn't the top one?
Top one.
Yeah. And what's the theme of the book? I mean, give us the recap.
There it is.
Give us the recap, JD.
Well, it really is. I mean,
you just became JD.
You got your Juris Doctorate in disruption education. Right. I just anointed you. You got your Juris Doctorate. Awesome. He's JD now.
Well, it took like 10 minutes.
You know, it took 10 minutes. I was slow today.
It truly is exactly what Tommy talked about. We don't need to look very far to find the answers to change education. You look at the great teachers doing great things in the classroom, And most of those great things that are happening are teachers that can focus on the individual students in the room, not the group of kids, not teaching to the center or teaching to the upper end or the lower end.
Yeah.
It's teaching, to all students. And when that's truly where success happens in the classroom. And a system that can take that one example and multiply that across the building, across the little wing of the building, or and expand that, that's what we need to do. But it takes everybody, a team, to make this happen.
It's alignment. It's, you got to have – it reminds me of the – it's the Socratic method of teaching. So Socrates just would ask a question to a student. He wouldn't give him the answers. He would ask a question. All the students had to give him the answers. So it sounds like you guys are facilitating the opportunities for them to succeed.
We teach kids how to learn. When you, it's like, you know, I can teach you how to fish or give you a fish.
Right.
I can teach you how to learn or tell you what to learn. What's most effective for the long term? Teaching you how to learn. And when you start doing that at kindergarten level,
yeah,
I mean, you transform a student for life.
Yeah.
Whether they stay in my system or go to a different system, they can advocate for themselves. They know what they need to know. They know how much effort they need to put into it. They know when it gets difficult, they need to strive for excellence and move past that.
Yeah.
And all those things that we don't put focus on because it's too much time.
Yeah.
It takes away from reading, writing, and math. Well, if I can teach a kid how to learn, then I can get to the reading, writing, and math.
Yeah.
If I haven't taught him how to learn, we're going to struggle with reading, we're going to struggle with writing, we're going to struggle with math.
It's retraining the brain, though, not of the students, of the institutions.
Yeah,
that are used
built into the kids, right?
Yeah.
One of the things that's difficult for people to get their mind around that you can help us with today is I didn't understand the use of technology until I saw it being used in your classrooms. Because you hear individualized focus and teaching to these kids, and then you realize when I saw that dashboard that your teachers pull up that show true individual learning of kids in their classroom, and I watched your teacher say, you know, Johnny's working on this and Susie's working on this right now. Tell us how that works and your vision for that. We should mention right now that you're probably one of the only teachers in the world that have had Tim Cook come. So Ivanka Trump, Tim Cook came to Idaho and went to Wilder School District. And so talk about the importance of technology in the future.
Well, technology is everywhere, right? I scratched my head at how slow education the system is about incorporating technology beyond a replacement of a textbook.
Yes.
Right? Because we look at school systems across the United States, across Idaho, they have quote-unquote technology, but it's replacement technology. They're just replacing a textbook, replacing a reading book. Our goal is truly not to replace, is to really get to that point where we reinventing the opportunities for kids with technology in education. So we want kids to use that technology as a tool for learning. So they know what to use in that device to drive their learning. So some students just give it to me online and get out of my way.
Yeah.
Right? Some kids-
Like, you know, Blackboard, is that what you're using? Litmos?
It's an online program. It's Edgenuity is one of the programs we use. Yeah. IXL, there's several different programs we use for kids. Yeah. It's very, very eclectic. It's like a smorgasbord because different students need different types of programs because they connect differently with them, right? Some people like different phones.
Yes.
I mean, so if everybody was forced to have the same phone, so we try to make it very eclectic for online approaches for kids. Number two is some kids need to have more of a project-based approach, and we call it voice and choice. We teach kids how to learn and advocate for themselves so they actually go to the teacher, and they're in charge, not the teacher. Mm-hmm. They go to the teacher and say, I need to learn this in a different way. Mm-hmm. Now, think about a middle school student or an elementary student coming up to the teacher and saying, you know what? Can you give this content to me through a project? They can use whatever modality they choose to create a project but they have to demonstrate they know the information in the end, period. Right.
But that's the issue, is you've got teachers and old instructors. So I come from a technology background. We run a learning management system, or what they call a learning experience mm-hmm. platform. So Blackboard, Litmos, Educate, you got them all out there. But what you're talking about is absolutely brilliant. It is what Steve Jobs did. Steve Jobs did what they called the leapfrog technology. Nobody knew they wanted an iPhone because there was nothing wrong with the BlackBerry. There was absolutely nothing wrong with the BlackBerry. So what Jobs did is he leapfrogged technology and systems, and he does a brilliant speech on this, and it totally reminds me of you, and it's there's a reason why you got visited by Nick Cook and everyone, because that's exactly what it reminds me he's doing. We all had our BlackBerry in 2003. Nobody thought there was anything wrong with it. It was perfect until Jobs said, let me introduce the iPhone. Traditionally, you shouldn't have introduced the iPhone at that time, because there was nothing wrong with what was going on. Leapfrogged all the spaces and the steps in between and says, this is what you should do. I'm hearing JD say the same thing. Listen, we're going to customize learning. You're going to tell us what we need. However, my question to you is, how do you educate the teachers? Because the teachers are going to push back. They're going to go, screw you.
We have to train teachers like we train kids, like we mm-hmm. teach kids how to learn. We have to teach teachers how to learn, teach in the system. And it's a lot of training. That's all we do.
Yeah.
But that's what our job is as leaders in education, is our goal is to train our teachers to be successful in your system.
I'm laughing because it's either the vice principal or the principal, kind of a bigger guy.
Yeah, Tim Jensen at the time. Yeah.
Tim Jensen.
Yeah.
So I'm talking to him. This has been a while. Is he like a football coach or did he?
He coached, yep.
He coached some football. Really nice guy. Mm-hmm. But I was asking him, I said, hey, when Jeff came to you and said, hey, this is what we're going to do. We're going to get rid of classes, periods, at a high school. He said, I thought he was out of his mind. This was his exact quote. He said, I called the local sheriff.
No.
And he said, he's losing his mind. There's going to be increased truancy. Kids mm-hmm. aren't going to come to school.
Yeah.
They're going to have too much freedom. They're in lack of structure. It's going to be a disaster. Let's get ready for this, because when it launches,
yeah,
you're going to have to be on patrol getting kids back into school. And then he got and he said, listen, exact opposite happened. Truancy went to almost zero. Engagement went all the way up. Attendance went up. I mean, so I like this story because here's what the pushback was.
Right.
We can't do it that way. A real example. And then, we can do it that way. So somehow, Jeff, the other thing to speak about is how do you lead through that because of so much blowback? You know you're heading in the right direction because you're getting so much blowback.
Oh,
right?
For sure.
When you're getting blowback, you know you're in the, you know, you're there.
Or you're truly insane.
Or you're truly insane. But you have conviction, you have vision, right? So you're selling the vision with clarity. You have a plan. But then at the end of the day, it's hard work.
Yeah.
You have to lead. Talk to us about that.
John Maxwell said it best. People buy into the leader than the vision.
Yeah.
Right. So I knew that the idea wasn't the biggest issue. It's can I get my team behind me in the plan to get where we need to get to? And truly for me at that point was about talking about the success. So we had our school board in Wilder is phenomenal, and they bought into personalized learning. And what it was going to take for us to get there was creating 2 hours of professional development every week for teachers. And my goal was every time we met with the staff, we talked about the successes.
Mm-hmm.
Because whenever you change, everybody wants to throw the darts and pull out the negative things.
Yeah.
Because that's the easiest thing to talk about. We always want to talk about the successes. Leave the challenges to the very end, and we'll tackle a few here and a few there. There are always going to be challenges. So we got to the point where we're going to talk about successes, talk about the things we need to talk about, and then we're going to deal with a couple of things we need to fix. The other thing that we allowed teachers to do, and this is where it's difficult for administrators across the nation to do this, we call it mulligans. Like if you're a golfer, you understand what that means. Teachers had to try this. I've never done this before as a teacher. So I need to know that you as an administrator are going to hit me over the back of the head with an evaluation, you know, or observation if I'm doing something that's not quite.
Well, they're notoriously risk averse, right? And so they're, you're going to blame me.
Yeah. So the blame was on me, period. Mm-hmm. It was on my shoulders. You go out as a teacher and you just try it. And keep trying it, and keep trying it.
How empowering!
Because you're gonna make it happen.
Yeah.
And pretty soon, as we talk about the successes every time we met, guess what happened? They start growing, and now everybody's joining in on the conversation about the success of what's taking place.
Now, Jeff, what you just taught for anyone listening out there, whether you're in a boardroom or you're on a factory floor, wherever you're leading in management or as a CEO of a company, you just gave the formula for buying into the leader, vision, selling that vision, and then the feedback loop. I love what you just said, the successes, celebrating successes, but also talking about, hey, here's some places we can improve. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think whenever you're – and this is why it's so impressive to be around you. You're in an industry that's far harder to change.
I was just going to say that.
Like, this just doesn't happen.
That industry is the toughest industry.
Yeah, this is just tough. And then to witness you doing it – there's a lot to learn from a guy like you. There really is for everyone out there to say, hey, this is how you lead. This is pure leadership 101.
Yeah. Well, and Tommy, you've set that example as well, even in his environment. And I can see, by the way, I got to totally, every time you guys talk about big dudes, you need to know that both these dudes are over 6 foot. Both these dudes, and they're like, I met this big guy. I'm like, I'm 5'9". I'm like the smallest dude in the room. You're talking about big guys. That guy must have been massive.
It's all right. That judo, you're making up for it.
But I was going to point out that it's the same thing in this environment at BVA. If I really walk in from the outside perspective, you walk in and it's open, but they're kind of working at their own pace. However, what people are attracted to is vision and leadership. And both of you guys lead with the positive, not the negative. Both of you guys paint the picture to the horizon of success, not to the pitfalls of failures. The path towards success can be paved with the bricks of failures, but you fail up. You don't fall down. Mm. And that's exactly what I hear you saying. And that I would say to all of our listeners and viewers, pay attention to these two dudes and know this. Hardest industry ever.
Oh, man.
You think you got a hard try to go tackle education.
Okay, I'm gonna change the subject a little bit here to talk because I want to spend a lot of time because you have something really exciting coming up. So back to when we visited Wilder, this studio is a professional studio.
I mean, where? In Wilder?
Yeah.
You got a like a movie studio?
Yes. It's a professional filming studio. I understand it, it was donated to you through a grant from the owner of the Rugrats.
Kind of, yeah.
Tell us a little bit how you got the studio there to begin with.
Well, as a leader going to leadership conferences, you're always looking for something that I can bring back for my kids.
Yeah.
And I went to a conference down in Arizona, and we're sitting in this meeting all day talking about personalized learning with this cohort of great leaders across America. And there's a gentleman sitting in this group the whole day, just waiting for his time, right? And so like 15 minutes left in the day, they introduce him, Terry Thorne, and he's the former CEO of Rugrats, Wild Thornberries, animations, very successful down in LA and the whole scene down there with animation. He's an expert. He wants to share some of his educational opportunities with you. And so he began to share, he's taken the animation process and flipped it. So you're not focused for students on how to make the character, creating the character. He's created the characters for you. Hmm. All you do is worry about moving the character. And on top of that, it's about writing with intention.
Hmm. Yeah.
And so he showed some clips. Some things he just began to work with Snohomish School District in Washington State. And it's like, wow, this is a great opportunity. I think my kids need this. So, we were just at the point of receiving our iPads from Apple with the Connect Ed grant. It's a whole other story. And I called Terry on the phone and said, Terry, I met you down in Arizona. I need to have this in my building. I have the governor coming in 1 month. I've got – so anyway, he goes, you bet you got it. So I was the second school district in the nation to bring this in. And it truly is – the software is phenomenal, but it's a writing tool. And we write with intention. And I can talk a lot about what successes we've had with this tool, from discipline to habits of mind, to telling others about safety, cleaning up after yourself in the bathroom. I mean, there's a lot of different approaches that we could use the animation. But really, putting that in the hands of kids is phenomenal because that's their world. Oh. I mean, think about what animation does for your kids. Mm-hmm. They'll sit and watch the same show over and over and over.
Yeah.
So now the kids have an opportunity to create this.
So now flash forward. So this is now a few years later. And I can't remember where I'm sitting, but I get a text from Jeff. And it basically just said, hey, check this out and then call me.
Look at it.
He didn't call though right away. So, did he get to it?
So I pushed play.
One time.
He's a great texter. I'll tell you that though.
So I pushed play and Jeff, I'll let you do it justice here. But they have now created a Wilder School District with some of the surrounding school districts have created a feature film. Fully animated. All of the kids have done the dialogue and the acting and the songs. I'll let you go into it. But the world premiere and release is on the 15th at the Egyptian Theater in downtown Boise.
Absolutely.
On this December 15th?
This December 15th.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So the amazing opportunity, the company down in LA, Storymaker, Wonder Media, they've actually put together the storyline and created the characters for us. So they did the pretty much the back end work with the story, but it's the Wizard of Oz.
Wow.
But it's about Dorothy going from elementary school to middle school. And then school districts that were using this Storymaker program across the United States had the opportunity to choose one of the 26 different scenes in the movie. And then they were going to patchwork this together down in LA and do this little premiere, first ever movie done by kids.
Wow.
And I looked at my expert when we heard about the opportunity, Mike Nelson, who works in our animation studio with our kids. Hey, Mike, can we do the whole movie?
Here it goes again.
But I'm just going to interject real quick. I want everyone that's hearing this. What the innovation is the ability to ask. That's what you guys do. Every time I hear, hey, you heard some guy talk and you said, can I have that? You had somebody say, can we do the whole movie? Tommy and BVA will say, can we do that? You're always asking, can we? How do we? You're not saying, I can't, I shouldn't, I wouldn't. Or you're not shutting up and not asking. I just wanted to point that out to our listeners.
Or telling you're going to do this.
Right.
You know, it's really, can we do this? And we start getting that creativity rolling. It's going to take our music department, elementary and high school. It's going to take our art department. Okay, it's going to have to take our, you know, and next. And pretty soon, we had, you know, 150 kids involved. And creating this, you know, we had voice actors, we had Foley's.
No way.
We it was amazing to all the pieces together. Phenomenal opportunities for our staff and for our kids. But I want to tell you, this doesn't work most often in a traditional system because in a traditional system means that all my kids are going to go to the animation studio at once because the teacher's going to say, see you later, goodbye.
Yep.
I'm going to go on my plan time. In a personalized learning environment, these kids can go work on the animation. Leave reading, leave math, leave writing, and come right back to it and never miss anything. So it was a very personalized approach in the classroom allows for the opportunity in the animation studio.
Do you have significant data now that can support what you guys are saying and stating that you can – and then it's back to how do you scale it. So do you have the significant data that says, here's what our kids are doing. We're not just making this up. We do have truancy less. We do have increased productivity more. Or is there not enough time behind you yet to track?
Well, one thing you have to know is I'm not a score chaser, test score chaser. My students turn over about 30 to 40% of my students turn over every year. I'm not teaching the same kids all the time, every year in, year out. I have about, I would say in their way, about 40% of my kids that have kind of been there K-12 and the rest kind of float in and out. So we have to be great at what we do, and that's teaching kids how to learn. But what we've learned about our process and our system is that we're truly transforming the habits of mind for students.
Yeah.
We focus on the 16 habits of mind. It's a book by Art Costa Benicalic.
Sure.
phenomenal book, and it really kind of aligns with a grit approach.
Yeah.
But our kids are learning how to strive for accuracy. They're learning how to be persistent. They're learning how to question, think about their thinking, metacognition, and we teach at K-12. And our kids are transforming. Our kids are transforming. When our attendance rate at high school students, a majority of kids only need to attend 6 hours a day because they've earned that level where they can show up for 6 hours, and that's their 6 hours, and they just choose that. But our attendance is still at 95, 96% average daily attendance because they want to be there.
But that's, JD, what you have to, instead of tracking to the old modalities and the test scores, create a new metrics that tracks towards your indices and towards your modalities to prove that out, because it's not just about a test score. It's about a mindset. I looked at school forever as a transactional thing. You, I can hear, witness it as a transformational thing. And that's very, very powerful. You went from transactional to transformational. And I'm positive all the kids that have been through that transformational process are going to be forever endeared to that.
Well, our seniors graduated last year with an average of 16 college credits.
Oh, that's massive.
GPA was 3.0. That's with kids coming in with Fs. Okay.
Yeah.
So our kids strive for perfection now. They don't strive for the B. Because we raise the bar. Used to be you could sit in a C and get a D minus and not know any math whatsoever.
Yeah.
And graduate.
And graduate.
And graduate. And now you're required to know that. Then know that before you can get that credit. Yeah. Period.
That's right.
So if it takes a longer for you, that's okay. A little shorter, that's okay too. Here's the other transition we've made that's really kind of mind-boggling. Our eighth grade students, we need to kind of some other opportunities because we're kind of short on some seats in some classrooms and because of some movement issues. We offered the opportunity for our eighth grade students to take high school Algebra 1 for credit as an elective over PE, art, music, right? So we're not going to have very many kids do that. Or they could also take earth science, high school credit.
Yeah.
40% of our eighth grade students are currently taking Algebra 1 and or earth science because they want it to. Now, when you have a student that wants to learn Algebra 1, what do you think is going to happen? I guarantee you not every one of those students were quote unquote ready to take Algebra 1. In fact, I would tell you that I would say maybe one student had passed the state ISAT test in eighth grade or seventh grade.
Wow.
Right? So it wasn't about the test score. It's about the student drive and initiative.
Yeah, sure.
Amazing. Go back for us to talk about this premiere.
So, we shifted off that, didn't we?
Egyptian theory.
Yeah.
Egyptian theater on the 15th. You have a website where people can get tickets. Talk to us about the premiere and how the community can help.
Wilderschools.org is the best place to go. You get the link
I'm going to pull that up
for tickets.
Quick. So Wilderschools.org.
And
it's plural, schools.org.
Yes.
Got it.
Okay.
And it's the Idaho there School Presents Wizard of
top,
Oz.
Top there link is. There, right there.
Look at that.
Idaho Schools Present Wizard of Oz. So everyone to listening, go to idahoschools.org, wilderschools.org.
Yeah.
Comes right up. And then there's a link right there to get tickets.
Wonder Grove right Wizard of Oz.
And
awesome.
Wait till you see the little clip. Yeah. I think the clip is embedded in there, I think, as well.
Go to the clip on the top one there, bud.
I think that's, just click right there somewhere. It pops it up.
But that was Nick Cook, too, that he had in there.
Tim Cook. Yep.
Tim Cook, yeah.
Oh, that's just the tickets.
We'll be dripping out that, over social media to everyone listening is we'll send out the trailers. But it's on Sunday the 15th. Right now, there's one show, but hoping to have two.
Two shows. We're hoping.
Two showings. Yeah.
He's got it pulled up now. This is incredible. I see why you got jacked up with this. This is awesome. This is cool.
It is amazing.
So we're watching this. Well, we'll send out this trailer. But one of the things to point out, Jeff, to you, and I know you know this, but today we're here talking about lots of big ideas. Education in America, right? education in Idaho. Mm-hmm. How do you take kids kindergarten to 12th grade and prepare them for life in a changing world with technology and everything that's out there? Those are big ideas. But what I love about you is it's not just the big ideas. It's about the individual kids.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's one takeaway that I had from the Wilder visit, it was watching individual interactions. To your point, I don't know if you, when I was listening to you, make sure I hit this point again. You have tremendous turnover in who actually attends school because of the poverty levels where you are. Who comes to school? I mean, you can't parent these kids, right?
We'd love to, but we can't.
You can't.
Yeah.
They move. They come in and out. Several of them, you know, come from very challenging backgrounds. Mm-hmm. But what I loved about what I saw there is it's down to the individual. And I can't even imagine the number of stories you could tell of individual kids who have been rescued and saved and shown a way to learn, to grow, and to become productive, happy adults in the world. I mean, that is significant, Troy.
Yeah.
And that's
day in and day out.
Yeah.
It's about every single student.
Yeah.
It truly is. And it's not just lip service.
Yeah.
Every student. And you have to understand the philosophy of personalized learning and mastery-based learning, seat time for credit. Think logically. If we have kids that are, quote unquote, the smart kids that can be 2 years ahead of the other class, do you think that maybe there's going to be kids that are always going to be a couple years behind?
Mm-hmm.
But we're all moving in the same direction.
Yeah.
Right? It doesn't mean one is smarter than the other. It's just that we have a broader gap, bigger zone of learning.
Mm-hmm.
And we all have different things that we are successful with. The student that's 2 years ahead, they can't weld very well.
Yeah.
Or maybe they can, right?
Yeah.
But two, the student that's 2 years behind is a great communicator.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's maximize your excellence.
But, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's maximizing in that lane in your excellence. I'm going to paraphrase this in conclusion that, have you guys heard the starfish story? You guys ever heard that starfish? Yeah. I know you've heard. You'll love this. And by the way, I'm going to paraphrase it. So all the starfish get washed up on the ocean every time and they die. Unless someone throws them back with this little boy. And they get washed up in hundreds and thousands of them. This little boy, one by one, he's going out and he's throwing them back in the ocean, throwing back in this ocean. And old man comes up to me and says, son, there's thousands of these starfish. Like, you're not going to make a difference. And he's got one in his hand. He goes, yeah, but I'm going to make a difference for this one. And he throws them back. That's what JD reminds me of. So, hey, thank you very much for everything you talk about.
Thanks for the opportunity, gentlemen.
Well, hey, Jeff, you're an inspiration to me. And it's been fun having you on, but more importantly, fun to reconnect. You're a good friend.
Appreciate
all that you do and can't wait to be at the premiere on the 15th. So anyone out
December 15th.
Tell your friends, share the news, come out and help the Wilder School District and be inspired.
Yes. Just one thing. Kids are free.
Okay.
Kids are free.
Kids are free. $5 for adults.
Yep.
First showings at 2:00, trying to get a second showing, get the word out for us. God bless you, Jeff. Keep going, buddy.
Thank you. You too.
All right.
Appreciate you, gentlemen. It. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Tommy Ahlquist, Troy McClain with Inspire Excellence, and we had Jeff Dillon on. Make sure you get out and buy your tickets. If you want to stay around for a little after hours, we're going to be talking about just more innovation and more inspiration. So that's what we got.
You've been listening to the Inspire Excellence podcast. We invite you to find something that inspires you this week. Join us again for our next episode.
I got a great idea for you right now. So we run, you really have went from, so the modality, I'm squarely in your space right now. By the way, another 400% growth this quarter. We just landed Boise Cascade. So we landed Boise Cascade, Discovery Health, Page Lever. Page Lever has 2.1 million users. But what I was going to tell
just
you.
Remember us. Just remember me and Jeff.
I'm just, if I had your money, I'd throw mine away, man. I'm just trying to catch up with you guys.
Remember the little guy.
Dude, I just want to catch up with you guys. That's all. But what I was going to say is we really challenged the disruption of technology as well, because the modalities of learning management systems are old. Blackboard's old. We created a learning experience platform. What I was going to tell you. All these people want content through animation. We really are more, there's our system right there. We really want to be
we thought we were going to deliver their content. What we're discovering is they want content. I can hire you guys out right now. Right now, there's probably, I think we got about 80,000 hours of requested produced content. If it was done, like content from sexual harassment training to how to be nice in the workplace, but put it in the mindset of a kid, not the sexual harassment training, but like how do you be nice in a work environment? From the words of a five-year-old through animation. They all love animation. We use a technology called Animate, but if we can hire out kids, now you're not even feeding off the system. And these big companies strive for that. Like everything you ever learned, you learn best as a five-year-old. Think of Horton Hears a Who. The little things matter. Think of the little engine that could. I think I can. I think I can. I think I can until you did. The Giving Tree by Shel Silverstein. You know, the best way to get ahead is to give back. These are lessons that kids can teach us again in the work environment. And we hire those vignettes out. I literally hire North by Northwest, whoever it is, whoever it is, whoever it is, to these little two to seven minute vignettes. I don't know what a school district is allowed to get paid, but there's a self-sustaining perpetual model.
There's a way to figure out how to make it happen.
There is.
Man. There is. I'm telling you. Like I was hearing him talking, going, oh, Tommy.
Wouldn't that be cool?
You were so right. Wouldn't like that
be cool if you could put content created in Wilder, Idaho?
Content created in Wilder, Idaho.
By Wilder Elementary School.
Yes. Yeah. Like when I tell you simple content too, like a lot of them just go, I don't want to deal with it. I got to burn my budget this year and spend the money.
Pull up that animation. You'll see the character. We'll just do the opening mm-hmm. scene. You probably fast forward that animation there. Pull it up there.
It's brilliant animation. It's just buffering. But yeah, I instantaneously thought about, oh, come on, man.
Everything you're seeing, except for the script.
I'm just making sure
we're creating double the recording. Characters.
Come on.
Well, we did it. We finished fifth grade.
Wow.
That's all kids right now.
Yeah, his kids. They do the movements. So they sit around. They go figure out what the characters are going to do, how they're going to move. It's, listen.
But we go back to Tavuti and just click on YouTube just so I can show him. You guys have blown us out of the water in your animation and your technique. If you just go to Tavuti and just click on YouTube. Just to show them an animated video that we get paid to do.
I mean, they do the different views from the camera.
Yep. So look, this is what we get significantly paid for this, but you guys blow us out of the water, and we can subcontract. That's
super embarrassing.
That is super embarrassing. Like it's super embarrassing. But we got paid a lot for it.
Terry's team in LA, they yeah. work with the Barbara Sinatra Foundation.
Yeah.
And they've done a lot of. Speaking of stuff events, around the animation no with
is there a law that says I can't hire you?
No.
I mean, I honestly don't know.
It's probably more of a donation. Yeah. Than anything else.
But it would go directly to the Wilder school?
Yeah. We could set up a direct, you know, a fund that would support the animation studio. Yeah.
Because we only need little, like that's a yeah. 2 minute video. That's a, yeah, so yeah 2 minute 11.
It would probably be a donation agreement.
Yeah. And we'd write the script. We write everything. Yeah. And then you guys.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah, I'm telling you.
We have kids credit
80,
for writing. Yeah. For writing. We kids credit for, yeah, for everything. Art, music.
Wow.
Can you imagine meeting with them and storyboarding it out?
Oh, yeah.
Talking about, hey, here's what a company needs, a growing, yep. thriving company needs. Here's how you storyboard it out. Here's what they want. Then you have a review process. Think about that.
Yeah.
Think about the educational value of that in the mm-hmm. real world for those kids.
Yes.
We got a senior that he was the basically assistant director for the animation that we did for the Wizard of Oz. That was a senior project.
Yeah.
So we do the same types of approaches, get seniors involved or high school kids involved, and they can kind of learn how to lead, direct.
You're doing edutainment. you're educating and entertaining at the same time, and that keeps their mindset alive. I think it's brilliant. And you're also talking, you're rattling off a lot of books. I think what you did is brought in my personal purview. You brought in leadership into a very stale education environment. Not I wouldn't say business because it's bigger than just business. Another book though that is great.
Gino Wickman, EOS. That one, if you like grit, Who Moved My Cheese is another one. Yep. Have you read the Who Moved My Cheese?
No,
yeah. Read EOS, and that kind of accumulates them all. It's an easy read, quick read. Sure.